Hey, good morning. Come on in, grab a seat. All right. Well, you'll have to excuse me. Last week up here, my nose was running and it didn't run all week. And I just blew my nose again for the first time this week. So apparently I'm becoming allergic to this room. Anyway, this is Desert Zen Church Community. Thanks for coming. I want to do say a couple things before we get started. One is, I really like the line of that song that says, "I called and you answered." And I don't know what your story is of coming and finding Christ, but my story is I looked up at the sky and I said, "God, if you're really there, show me." And I moved from an atheist to an agnostic to a Bible-believing Christian, or maybe at first a resurrection-believing Christian. And I attribute it all to I called. And even now, it's the same thing. I believe when I call, Jesus answers. And that thought and that song is always encourages my heart. And lots of songs encourage my heart, but that one encouraged my heart this morning. Another thing I wanna say is if you were here last week, I wanted to make an apology. I left yesterday or last week a little bit grieved in my heart. I spoke a word concerning my wife that, though theological, was not most honoring. And as role as a husband, that was to honor my wife. And if you are grieved by that as well, I just want to say, will you please forgive me? And so I thought I'd start with those two things. And you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 1, and I'll pray and let you know where we're going. Father, it is beautiful that we can come as we are. Because I don't know if many of us would have the energy week after week, day after day, year after year, to dress up and try to perform a show for you. That we just get to come. That Zacchaeus just came. And you were okay with walking into Zacchaeus' house. And he was inspired by your compassion and your care and your willingness to be close. I thank you that you are close. And Father, I want to ask today that you would grant us faith, God, not to view reality the way we kind of view it normally, the way we sort of think it is, but that you would help us by faith grasp new realities, deeper realities, bigger realities, that you would help us put on a lens, God, from you. And we need your help. We need your help as teacher, as Lord. So, Father, help us. And thank you for being here with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, we've been talking about our church, but we need to stop for a second and talk about the church in a wider scope. We needed to put, if we're going to talk about our church, that has to be in context of the church in total. And so I want to talk about the church this morning. And so I have a passage that I decided, oh, I'm going to speak on this passage. And then the more I looked at it, the more confused I was. And that's no fun to not really know. And so I'm indebted to John Piper and some other guy. I don't know how to pronounce his name, or I never heard of him before. To expand my mind from human thinking to bigger thinking. And that is what I want us to do this morning. I want us to try to put on bigger thinking, and I want us to be in wonder of God. And so that's the prayer. That's the hope. And so let's read our passage. You're in Ephesians, I'm in 2 Kings. So, Ephesians 1. We're going to start in verse 20. Before, the context is, Paul is praying, he's talking about God's power for believers, and he says this about God's power, which he, God the Father, exerted in Christ when he raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Okay, Bible scholars, what themes do you pull out of there? God's sovereignty? Yeah, okay. Other thoughts, other ways to put that? Church, good theme. Talking about the church? Christ is the head of the church, that's a good theme. Yeah. Some phrases that stick out to me in a theme. Jesus is sitting at God's right hand. He's far above all rule, all authority. He's far above all power. He's been given all dominion. Every title, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of God, who fills everything in every way. When Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and earth, when he gave the Great Commission, I think that matches up with this. This passage is about authority. God the Father does something for Jesus, and the thing he does for Jesus is he says, I am going to give you all authority. I'm going to put all things under your feet. All your enemies will be under your feet. Now, what is Jesus doing with that authority? That's the question. What is he doing with it? And this is where we're going to start and end. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. See, Jesus is filling with his authority. He's filling the world. And so you just go, I don't know if I know what that means. So apparently, the world isn't filled yet. And I think he's talking about. The context is Jesus' authority. So Jesus gets authority that he might fill. He gets authority so that he will be filling. He's filling the earth. Actually, the universe with his authority. So he's been given authority, and he's filling it because he's going to go exercise that authority. He's going to go bring himself as king everywhere. He is going to go everywhere. Will feel, will experience Jesus and all that he is. They will see and feel and experience Jesus' wisdom and Jesus' wrath and Jesus' goodness and Jesus getting all of what he wants in every place, all over, all the time. And there's this process of him filling that up in the earth. And that makes sense to me because I look around and I go, oh, Jesus, you don't have all that you want in every place right now. But you will. Because you will be king over all of it. And it's not finished. So the first thing I want us to pull out of this passage is Jesus' authority will be expressed everywhere. It's been given to him, but it's not fully expressed yet. It's not asserted. You know, kind of like you know, when God goes, hey guys, I'm giving you the promised land. It's yours. Now go drive them out. Now go assert your authority and go get it. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's been giving it. The second thought here is that the church is Jesus' body. And this is deep. And I know you've heard that, and I want to lock us in because this thought is all through the New Testament. And it's all through the New Testament, not like it always says, you know, we're his body and you're a finger and you're a hand and you're, but like when it specifically talks about his body, but it's interwoven in all the doctrines and all the, it is everywhere. And I want to show you. So in the Gospels, Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the sheep and he goats, and he says he's going to turn to the sheep and he's going to say, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And they ask, excuse me, Jesus, I'm pretty sure you were in heaven. So when did all that happen? And this is what he says in verse 40. Truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. The brethren of Jesus is the church. See, if you persecute the church, you persecute Jesus. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said to Paul when he knocked him off his horse? Hey, if you persecute the church, you're persecuting me if you show affection to the church. You're showing affection for Jesus. The church is his body, his physical presence on the earth. If you touch the church, you touch the body of Christ. You touch Christ. So, another place you see this is in 1 Corinthians 16. I know a bunch of you guys have this memorized. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make the members of a prostitute? Do you not know that he who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 16. Now, what's that saying? It's saying if you are a disciple of Christ, you're a member. You're a member, basically meaning a part. You're a part of Christ's body. And then it says this. If you're a part of Christ's body, then the parts of your body are parts of Christ's body. The parts of your body are parts of Christ's body. And so if you commit adultery, if you commit fornication, you drag Christ himself into bed and make him do what you do. That's the argument. That your body is so much Christ's body, you're dragging Christ with you. That the church is Christ's body on the earth. It's not talking about the church being Christ's body. It's just talking about stop committing adultery. But it's so interwoven. That's the reason. The reason is because the church is the body of Christ. I want us to turn to this one because it's in Ephesians and it's real close. Turn to Ephesians 5. We're going to start in verse 28. I think when we get there, this is a passage many of us have heard at weddings. It's talking about husbands and wives. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loved his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. You can stop there. What Paul's saying here, when a husband loves his wife, Paul says he's loving himself because she's part of his body. She is like his own body. And so when Christ loved the church, he is loving himself because we are part of his body. So check out the comparison here. The oneness between a husband and a wife is like the oneness between Christ and his church. That's what he's saying. The church goes a little further. So the church is united with Christ because the church is the wife of Christ. Right? The church is his bride. Husbands and wives are one flesh, one body on this earth. Husband and wives are one flesh, one body. And it's a picture of one flesh, one body of Christ and his church. It is everywhere. The church is the body of Christ. That's the teaching, and that can have some profound implications. We might get to one of those later. All right, so Christ is, Jesus is filling everything with his authority. Two, the church is his body. Three, we're going to put these two things together a little bit. Okay. We need to go back to Ephesians 1 and ask you a question. Ephesians 1, verse 23. All right, go back to 22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So if you look at that phrase, is it Christ that's filling everything in every way, or is it the church that is filling everything in every way? What do you guys think? Guys coming with opinions. We have a Jesus. Do we have any churches? We have a church. Sean's a church. Exactly. That's tough. I don't know if I could figure it out. Exactly. You know what's happening here? God aims to fill the universe so that everybody knows his awesomeness. Everybody, that everything has a knowledge of him, that everything has been exposed to his wisdom, that everything, everybody, all the corners of the globe know his glory. And you know how he's going to do it? By making the church the showcase for his perfections. So it's like there's this group of people, the church, and he comes into, he empowers, he becomes head of, he embodies and lifts up the church so that everybody sees how awesome Jesus is. That Jesus is filling everything in every way, but he's filling everything in every way through the church. Now, that is mind-blowing. And so immediately you go, and that's like, that's a little big. For some la-la-la hymns. And so I go, okay. And so if you don't believe me, and if I need some reassurance, let's turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 10. Let's blow your mind again. Verse 10. His intent was that now, right now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So his purpose the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, you know who they are? The prince of this world, the demons, the angels. And he wants those guys to be preached the wisdom of God. Let's go preach the wisdom of God to the demons. How is that happening? It's so crazy. It's the guys that Jesus has already put under his feet. Your enemies, I'll make them your footstool. Right? So Jesus is there, but Jesus goes, no. We're going to preach to them. Okay? Why? Why are we going to preach to them? Honestly, yet, I don't really know. Who preaches to them? Jesus preaches to them through the church. Jesus is going to show how awesome he is through the church. He's going to show how much he has power through the church. He is going to show how much he suffers and how much care and love he has and sacrifice through the church. He's going to show the heavenly realms how much the church is loved. There is going to be a full understanding of God. All these evil beings, they're going to get it. They're going to get how amazing God is. All the evil layers of the spiritual world are going to be filled with who God is. And then I go, all the minds. Maybe all the minds of the evil and all the layers are going to be filled with who God is. They may not like it, but they're going to be filled with it. Because Jesus is going to fill all things. He will fill everywhere. And it says right now, the church is showing them. Right now, they're being spoken to. As Jesus and the church do its thing in the world. Guys, if Jesus can fill the spiritual wheeled evil layers with the wisdom of God through the church, he can fill everywhere. He can fill everything. He can fill the whole world. through the church. His kingdom everywhere. That he is king in all places. Isn't it amazing? See, because God the Father could just say, Jesus, wow, you were holy and you walked an amazing life and you conquered death and we raised you up and you have all authority I'm giving you to, and just go get all that authority and fill the whole earth with it. And he didn't say that. He said, I am going to make you head of the church. So that you and all these people together as one can go fill the whole world with you being king. And it wasn't just Jesus, go do it. It's Jesus, unite with these people and go do it. And I just go, I get to be, that's what we're doing here? I get to be part of that plan? That sounds really big. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says that that he wants Jesus to be revealed in his mortal flesh. And I just sort of went, oh, that's really interesting. So through my mortalness, Paul wants Jesus to be revealed. And that's part of his life fame. And I was like, wow, that doesn't sound like a bad thought for the church. That through the church's body, in a spiritual sense, even in a physical sense, through the church, Jesus might be revealed. Let me ask you a question. What's the church? What's a body for? Now, this isn't a question. This is rhetorical. What's a body for? Well, I think a body brings identity a little bit to an entity. Isn't that wordy? So it's like this. When I think of my wife, I think of joyful, big heart of compassion. I think of fun-loving, free spirit. That is my wife. But I cannot think of those things outside of her body. Because when I think of my wife, I think of her body expressing those things. I think of the smile for the joy. Right? I think of the dancing for the fun-loving. And so there is an entity which is Jennifer, and it gets expressed. It comes out. Jennifer is revealed through her body. I am revealed through my body. Her joy is revealed. It brings visibility to the entity that resides within it. The body brings visibility to the entity that resides within it. The church is Christ's body. We bring visibility to the entity that resides within it, Jesus Christ. We are to bring visibility to who he is and what he does in us and through us. That's the body of Christ. That's why he designed us the way he did. Now, just a little side point here before we move on. Jesus is head. This would be point four. Jesus is the head. So when I woke up this morning, my body went, oh no. Uh-uh. We're staying right here. And the alarm did its thing. But my head went, hey, body, getting up is kind of important. There are things God wants us to do. There are kids that need somebody to watch them. And I logically say, body, do this. And my head kind of forces my body to do it. But my head is making the decision. And in one sense, bringing the power. Jesus is the head of the church. He's making the decisions. He's making it all go. It's all sort of unseen, but it's there. He's behind it all as the head. And I mention it not because I can explain it or explain it very well, but just that we just have to realize that this, when we talk about the church, we're talking about something that it Jesus owns, he empowers, he makes decisions for, he is leading, he is the head of this body. And I say this body, I mean this spot, like all of it. And so anyway, let that keep you up at night. I don't know. All of the implications or the applications of that truth, but it's right there, it's in the verse. Jesus is the head. There is a way in which I don't know where the human institution of the church ends and the spiritual leading of Christ begins. It's kind of mushy. Like in Acts with Ananias and Sapphira, lie to Peter. Peter goes, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And I go, no, Peter, they lied to you. But maybe they lied. Like, where does one stop and another begin? In all the human institutions of the church. You just go, okay, there's something spiritual around here happening because you are head. And I don't know how that all works. But it's mysterious. All right, So this is what the church is called to. We're called to this understanding, to this kind of faith, to us understanding that this is what we're doing. And I kind of view it like okay, if we're his body, we have, you know, we're part of the nerve endings, and all these nerve endings from Jesus come down, and they're in us. And so Jesus is always going, okay, how's his heart, and how's his faith, and how's his encouragement level, and how's he responding to this situation, and how's he loving this person, and he gets all this data, and it goes back up to Command Central, God, and then down through those same nerves, oh, we're going to bring him some encouragement, and we're going to bring him this verse, and we're going to take the Spirit and energize him in love and passion, and we're going to give him directions. Oh, we don't have to walk into any of that. You don't have to follow the directions. You don't have to decide that the promptings for that faith is a good idea. But the church is called the called out ones. We're called out of something to something, and that's our calling, is to this grand thing that is happening, this heavenly thing. God's purposes. There's a quote here. You know, when you get called to something grand, it usually requires sacrifice and suffering. William MacDonald said this: the Savior is not looking for men and women who will give their spare evenings to him or their years of retirement. Rather, he seeks those who will give him first place in their lives. K.P. Yohannan said this: I can testify that nearly every miracle that happened in our ministry came about not just as a result of my efforts or prayers, but also because a few individuals prayed, fasted, believed, and stuck together. There's a calling. There's a calling. You've been called. And the question is, how will we respond? How will we see the world? How will we see what God wants us to walk into? And the last thing is, if the connection between the church, the believers, and Jesus is so profound, if it's that intimate, like I was thinking of the verse, where two or more are gathered, there am I with them. Well, you know, you read the passages and you're like, well, duh. If this is all true, if I, you know, like if I'm bringing Jesus around with my members, and if I'm united with him like I'm united with Jesus, then, you know, you never leave my side. Well, yeah, you're like closer than by my side. Like, of course you're here. Of course you're here in this room. Why would I get up here and say, God, come join us? It's just like, if it's this profound, if this is what God is doing on the earth, if it runs straight through the church, then the direction I want to have in my soul, and as I read this, I felt this in my soul, the direction I want to have in my soul is toward the church. Not distancing myself from the church, but moving toward the church, connecting to the church. I want to love Jesus' body, because in loving Jesus' body, I love Jesus. So I was thinking, you know, if I'm a disciple and I'm walking around with Jesus back when he had a body, and he's walking around and he's walking around, and he sits down, and I come up behind him and I start massaging the back of his neck, and I go, Jesus, are you, man, let me give you a massage. Are you stressed from all these people that hate you? And of course he gives some really spiritual answer, but I get to massage his body. I get to bring him good. I get to touch his body. Or we're walking along, and we're walking, and Jesus is sleep deprived because he's been out praying so much, and he cramps up, and he goes, I got to sit down, my calf. I jump down there, and I go, hey, let's see if we can massage it out. See if we can get that out of there. And I'm loving his body, and in loving his body, I'm loving him. The parts of his body that are pained, the parts of his body that aren't, that need to work a little better, the parts of his body that might be got a little tension in them. All of it. Just giving him water. I want to love his body. I want to be drawn toward his body. And there's applications there too. Because through our gifts and through who we are, we're gonna love believers differently. We're gonna love Jesus' body differently. But the direction is toward his body. If it's all like this, if this is what's happening, if this is the unity that exists, that's where I'm going to be. Because I'm going to be where God is. And so I'm going to be where you are. Yeah. You're united here. Where Jesus' people are. Where Jesus' people are. That's where I want to be. I'm not setting up walls. I'm just saying, church, it's big, it's grand, and it's awesome, and we should move toward it. All right, let's pray. Oh, Father, would you reveal yourself through our mortal bodies? Would you reveal yourself through this spiritual body? Lord, would you come and bring your authority as head to this body? God, you say you are. God, would you help us walk in line with more of what you want. Lord, help us walk in a way that is worthy of our calling. And thank you for this calling, and I pray that you would bless us with being able to see the world like this. I want spiritual eyes. God, I don't want to walk in and give organizational plans. God, what's happening here is way more mysterious. You are way more mysterious. God, we thank you that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you, and we worship you as King, and we love you, and we thank you for joining us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.